Every single person who's listening to my voice right now, whether they're online, in this room, wherever they are, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would open our eyes to see the truth of your word. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the words that I speak tonight, Lord, let my words be yours. Holy Spirit, use me, I pray. I pray that every ear would be open to hear the truth of your word. I pray that every heart would be open to receive the truth of your word. Father, in Jesus' name, even now, I just pray. I know it's been a long day, and I just pray if there's any fatigue, if there's any tiredness of mind and body and heart, I just pray that you just stir up your people right now. Allow them, Father, to hear this word tonight with sharp minds. Allow them, I pray, to put all of the worries and cares of the day behind them for such a time as this, Lord. I declare in the name of Jesus that we have ears to hear what your Spirit would say to his church. Father, if there's any suffering from pain or discomfort, in Jesus' name, I pray even now that that pain would leave their body in the name of Jesus, Father. If there's any who is worried, any who is walking in fear, any that the enemy is trying to disrupt their marriage, their home, their thinking, their mind, their emotions, in the name of Jesus, I bind those spirits right now, and I speak peace over your life, over your home, your relationships, your children, your job. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 So tonight, we're talking about defeating your giants, part 5. Still some gas in the tank. Defeating your giants, part 5. And I want to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to start in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. We still have some work to do on this giant Goliath. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Socoh and Azekah in Ephesdamon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits, and we talked about him being somewhere between 7.5, 8.5 feet tall, perhaps 9 feet, some people say. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. So here is this big giant carrying a couple of 100 pounds of armor and weighing somewhere around potentially 500 to 600 pounds. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants of Saul, choose you a man. Remember, I talked about this verse. Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. Remember, we talked about how the enemy wants you to come down to his level, but I'm not preaching that again tonight. Go back and look at message number 1. And remember how we talked about the giants, how they just come at the worst times. Is there ever a good time for a giant to show up in your life? It's always at the worst time. But here is what the giant, here is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to change your strategy. He wants to change your strategy. Well, what is your strategy? Your strategy is whatever God tells you to do. Your strategy is the word of God. But here comes the giant, and he has a great idea. Remember back in the day, I don't know if parents still say this. Back in the day, you know, I would say, your parent would ask you, why did you do that? And you would say, because Johnny did it. Johnny's fault. He did it. That's it, exactly. And your parents would say, well, if Johnny jumped off the bridge, if he jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? As I thought about that today in 2026, if somebody did jump off a bridge, they would film it, put it on TikTok, make it a challenge, and half the people who watched it would go jump off the same bridge. So you can't use that anymore. But the enemy loves to change your strategy. He likes to take God's strategy, God's word, God's design, God's instructions for us, and he wants to change it and make us use his instructions for us. And so tonight, I'm going to talk about some of those instructions that God has given us and show you how the enemy wants to use God's instructions, but he wants to twist it and pervert it a little bit. So, 1 Samuel 17:9, and he said, if he be able to fight with me, whatever poor soul you send down here to fight me, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. Remember, I talked about the devil, the giants, how they love to lie. And they will lie to you. The enemy will lie to you and tell you something and get you to believe what he's saying. Enemies lie. And so, but that's another sermon I've already preached. And then verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. We see the reaction of Saul and his army. An entire army got caught up in fear, anxiety, because of the words of one man. One man. It shows you the power of words. One man's words. If you remember, back in President Trump's first term, people hated when he would tweet something. Hated his tweets. He would tweet something and the news media would go wild. It would just disrupt everything that they would report about. I can't believe this man is tweeting again. There's power in words. There's power in words. And we have to be so mindful, so cognizant of the words that we hear, the words that we speak. Saul and his entire army were disrupted because of the words of one man. And here is Saul and his army. They came and they were in fight or flight mode. Here comes the Philistines invading their land. They're in fight mode. They're ready to fight. You ever heard of fight or flight? You know what happens when fight or flight mode happens? You know, all kind of things go on inside of you, inside of your body. So skip down to verse 16. So the enemy has given his speech. Saul and his army are in fear. They are now in flight mode. They're now in fear. And so here comes the enemy, verse 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening. Morning and evening. You would think, you know what, Goliath, you did such a great job. Why don't you go sit down for a while? You've got the army afraid. You got a standing ovation from your army. The other army ran off to their side of the hill. But no, he came back every morning and every evening, the Bible says, twice a day, and presented himself 40 days. 40 days of hearing this big mouth giant coming to the valley and yelling at them, threatening them. 40 days, twice a day. That's like watching a horror movie where the bad guy is saying, I am here to kill you. And then they realize this is not a movie. This is the real thing. And it's 40 days in a row, day and night, day and night, day and night. There was this movie that Bill Murray was in called Groundhog Day. Every day this guy would wake up the same day doing the exact same thing every single day. It was called Groundhog Day. It was Groundhog Day every single day. I know I don't remember it all either. It's been a long, long, long time ago that movie came out. But this was like Groundhog Day for Saul and his army. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now, at the end of the day, this is very important. I need you to hear this. This is the second most important thing I'm going to say in this sermon. At the end of the day, the giant wants to be the center of your attention. He wants to be all that you talk about. When you wake up in the morning, you are thinking about the giant. When you lay down at night, you are thinking about the giant. When you get together with your family, you talk about the giant. When you come to church, you talk about the giant. You get a phone call, you talk about the giant. The giant wants to be the center of your attention day and night. You know why? There's a reason. Because when you find yourself listening to negative, defeating thoughts and words, and you get phone calls and people are telling you all the bad stuff that's going on, and you begin to talk negativity about yourself to others, to yourself, you know what that does? It puts you consciously and subconsciously in fight or flight mode. Physically, you begin to experience some things, and here are some things that happen. And I'm just going to give you a negative list of things that happen when we are caught up in the Groundhog Day of negativity of our lives. Here's the first thing that happens. Speaking or listening to repeated negative words can cause your mind to constantly look for problems, threats, and the worst case scenario. Somebody comes up to you and tells you, you know, what do you think about today? What do you think about this topic? Oh, my God, I don't think it's going to work out at all. It gets you to programming your mind for the negative. The second thing that happens, your stress response in your body turns on repeatedly. The body is always releasing your stress hormones, cortisol, adrenaline. That's not meant to be an everyday occasion. Yes, fight or flight is in case of emergencies, not every single day, day and night. So it gets your body releasing cortisol, adrenaline, and this is not good for the body. Because the third thing it does, it makes the nervous system become overactive. And you begin to feel tense, jittery. You can't relax. Anybody ever experienced any of these things before besides me? You can't relax. You feel like, you know, something is wrong all the time. And here's the fourth thing that happens. You have a hard time sleeping. You lay there and all this stuff is going through your mind. And you're reliving the Groundhog Day. And you're thinking about all the negative stuff, all the negative phone calls, all the negative conversations. Here's the fifth thing that can happen. You keep going through all of this, your immune system now can begin to be compromised. Now, I'm not speaking this over you. I'm just telling you, physically, this is what happens with a negative lifestyle. The next thing happens is the immune system can be affected. Long-term stress from constantly speaking or listening to negative words over yourself may weaken your immune functions. It can increase inflammation in the body. It makes you more vulnerable to sickness and makes it harder to recover from sickness. I'm saying all this because I want us to know when we are speaking all this junk, I want you to know some of the things that can happen in your physical body because I'm talking about divine healing. And so you'll come up and say, Pastor Tardo, we need you to pray. Pastor Walker, we need you to pray. And we're praying. And then you go back and speak the same junk that caused you to come up and need prayer in the first place. I want to break the habit of negativity tonight. Tonight. Tonight, I want us to break that habit of speaking evil over yourself. This night. Here's the next thing that can happen. You see, when cortisol and adrenaline is released in your body, your heart rate goes up when you get into that fight or flight mode. Your heart rate goes up. Your body begins to take precious blood from your vital organs and sends it to your muscles because now you're ready to run. Here's another thing that can happen. Boy, this is the most negative things I've ever talked about in my life behind the pulpit. It will get better. Your stomach reacts to this. And you could have upset stomach because of all of the negativity. Your stress goes up, headaches, tightness in the neck and shoulders. I'd come home from work sometimes and it would feel like I was just made out of stone because of the stress and the negativity that you have to put up with sometimes. Tension, fatigue, body aches. And here's the last thing. Here's the worst thing of all. If negativity is your continued confession, your physical body can begin to believe and manifest the message of your mouth. Let me give you a quick testimony. I've told you about my past when I was a young boy and tried to quit school because I was a knucklehead and didn't have any sense at that point in my life. And one of the things that I used to get out of going to school was I would lie to my parents about being sick. Oh, mama, my head hurts. My throat hurts. Oh, I feel so bad. I would just lie to them about being sick. After so many times of lying, guess what began to happen to me? I started getting sick. I began to swell. My throat began to swell. I had these knots and stuff coming. I mean, it was bad. And they started taking me to the doctor because I became a sickly child, a healthy child. I was healthy. And I started lying about how I felt. I started speaking sickness and disease over myself to play hooky from school. And all of that began to add up to me getting sick. Next thing you know, I had mumps and all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff came on me. Repeated negative words can begin to influence your faith in what you are expecting to happen to yourself and those around you. But I'm glad this is not a negative message tonight. It's not a negative message tonight. Because what we want to do is this. When the Philistine draws near and he begins to speak in your ear morning and evening, day after day after day, God says, I have something you can do to break the cycle of negativity in your life. So as I was praying about this message this morning, I was in my prayer closet. And here's an example that I got that shook me. And I want to give you an example from the Word of what I've been talking about. And once I saw this example, I thought, you know what? I've really got to watch my mouth. I've really got to watch my mouth, and I've really got to watch what I hear. Online folks, you really need to watch your mouth and watch what you hear. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, talking about Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, a perfectly good fig tree, but it didn't have any fruit. But it looked great. It looked great, a healthy fig tree. He found nothing but leaves, and for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answering and said to it, who was Jesus talking to? The fig tree. He said to the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Wow. Jesus spoke a curse over the fig tree. He spoke death over the fig tree. What? He spoke death over this fig tree. And it says, and his disciples heard it. Now, can you imagine Peter saying, did you hear what the master just said? He's talking to a tree. He didn't hug the tree or anything, but he talked to the tree. And what did he say to, when he said this, here's what he said. He answered and said to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Was this words of healing and life? Not at all. Was he speaking a blessing over the tree? What was he speaking? He cursed the tree. Now let's skip down to verse 20. And in the morning, as they, Jesus and his disciples, as they passed by, they saw something. Now in verse 14, it says, and his disciples heard something. They heard him talk to this tree. The next day, they saw the results of the words that were spoken. The words that were spoken, these words of death and cursing, were manifest the very next day. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. One day his disciples heard something. The next day they saw something. I want you to understand that. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, now I don't think Peter said, hey, Jesus, you know what? Look at that tree, man. Wow, I can't believe that. I think Peter saw that tree and he was like, Master, look at this tree. Yesterday, this thing was a perfectly healthy tree. It had green leaves. It was strong. But Master, Peter, calling to remember, said to him, Master, look at this tree which you cursed. It's withered away. He was amazed. And here's what Jesus said. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say something, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. In the context of what Jesus said, what had happened? Jesus has spoke death to a tree, and the tree died. And Peter said, Jesus, look at this dead tree. You spoke to this tree, and it died. And what did Jesus say? Well, guess what, Peter? Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Anybody ever say anything negative in faith? I did. I said a lot of things in faith that were detrimental to my own well-being. Remember that kid who was saying how sick he was? I was believing it, like, man, if I could just get a good cough, that'll get me a couple of days out of school. Jesus said, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That shook me. When I heard this in my prayer closet, I thought, wait a minute. If I'm saying things that are detrimental for my home, my marriage, my relationships, my job, my family, my children, my health, am I speaking curses on myself? And if I'm speaking these things, can these things come to pass? I called Brooks. I came straight out of my prayer closet. Guy on the phone said, Brooks, I got to tell you something. This is what I heard in my prayer closet. Baby, I got to watch what I say. I got to watch what I say. Mark 11, 23. Let's read that one more time. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. When Jesus cursed that fig tree, do you think there was any doubt there? How long did it take that fig tree to die? Overnight. Because he had perfect faith. His faith was strong. He knew that tree would die. But guess what? We have faith. And when we speak death over situations, it might not happen overnight, but it might happen. It will happen, and it might take a week, a month, a year, 5 years, but we've got to stop speaking death over ourselves. What are you saying about other people? Oh, I don't like them. They're no good. Oh, that brother is a phony. Oh, that sister, oh man, she. What are we saying about people? What are we saying about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Or your own children? Or your spouse, or your pets, or the mailman, the poor thing that left the mailbox open and your mail got wet. Oh, that's sorry. No, we've got to watch what we say about people because your words are powerful. Oh, they're powerful. Proverbs 18, 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life, they're in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, there are people who've been in bad relationships and their husband or wife have told them, you're the worst thing. I can't believe I married you. And you know what begins to happen to that person? They begin to believe it. That person begins to go through depression, anxiety, physical sickness, disease. Words are powerful. I was in a conversation with somebody this week, a couple of days ago. I'm on the phone. I'm trying to encourage this individual. This individual made a statement. He said, yeah, you know, the older you get, the worse it gets. And he says, just wait, brother. When you get older, this is going to happen to you. I said, hang on a second, brother. Hang on a second. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I'm believing God. When I get older, I'm going to get better. Amen. And I'm listening to him. And it's like, oh, my God, I don't want to offend him, but I got to counteract what he just said about me. I can't let that be the last word. It shook me. Like, don't speak that over me, brother. And it's not some superstition. I'm not superstitious. This is the word. I was like, brother, let me tell you what I'm believing God for. You say what you want to say about yourself. Don't say that about me. But here is the good news. Let me get to the good news. Here is the good news. There is a way to break free from this cycle of negativity. There is a way to break free, to release yourself from all the years of thinking, listening, hearing, speaking negative things about yourself and others. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, maybe you need to be a little bit more careful about what you're saying about yourself. So Joshua 1:8, and it's on that sheet I gave you. You don't even have to turn. Joshua 1:8 says this. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night." This is the antidote for negative speaking. This is the antidote. This is the prescription that the great physician gives us for life. He says, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Remember what the giant was doing? He came to replace God's design. The giant came to replace God's strategy with his evil strategy. So instead of Saul and his army meditating on God's word day and night, here comes Goliath. "Hey, you're all going to die." That morning, "Hey, I know, hey, it's me again, Goliath. Hey, you're going to die," click. "Hey, I know it's late, but it's me and Goliath. Hey, I'm going to kill you all, Saul and your army." Day and night, day and night, day and night. Well, God says, "I have the antidote. I have the prescription for what ails you. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." Out of my mouth? I don't know. That doesn't work. "It shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." It says you meditate day and night because what that word means is you're murmuring, you're talking to yourself, you're thinking about God's word, you're talking about God's word. Anybody in this room or online ever talk to yourself? Don't answer yourself, and please don't get into an argument with yourself. But we've done it. "I can't believe I said that. Why did I say that?" That's what God's saying. That's the prescription. Morning and night. Wake up in the morning. Remember, Pastor was saying that Sister Diane gets up in the morning, and what is she doing? She's meditating on the word. First thing in the morning, meditate on the word before you go to bed. Talk to yourself. Talk about the word of God. And guess what what Goliath is going to do? He's going to leave. He don't want to hear that. Right. He don't want to hear you saying, "In the name of Jesus, let me see, God has given him a name that is above all names." And you're walking around doing the dishes and talking about the power and the majesty of the name of Jesus. You think the devil's going to stick around and hear that? The devil comes and says, "You know what? I think I'm going to put a little bit of depression and anxiety on you." And you say, "Oh, in the name of Jesus, you know what, devil? You a liar, because I serve a God who is the Almighty God, and he shed his blood for me, and I plead the blood of Jesus." And you do that morning and night, morning and night, morning and night. Let the devil have his own Groundhog Day. Let him hear you begin to mutter and talk about the power of the word of God. And guess what's going to happen? I don't have to guess. The word tells me what's going to happen. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Wow. I like this prescription. I like taking this medicine. I got a couple more scriptures I want to read. That word meditate is the word hagah. And it means to murmur, to talk, to mutter, to speak. And it means to talk to yourself. It's okay to talk to yourself if you're saying the right things. It's okay. It's okay. If somebody sees you, it's okay. People see me walking down the aisle of the grocery store and my lips are moving because I'm praying or singing, and I'll be walking down the parking lot and I'll look at somebody sitting in their car and I'm thinking they probably think I'm talking to myself, but hallelujah. And I'll just walking down the aisles praying in the spirit. We need to let the breath of God that he breathed in us, let it come out praising him. Amen. Ephesians 5:18. This is not on your paper. It says this, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. The Bible gives you permission to talk to yourself. Tell your family, I'm not crazy after all. This is biblical that I'm talking to myself. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Even when you sing, you are meditating on God's word. Even when you sing, you're lifting up the name of Jesus. Even when you sing, you are telling the enemy, here is your Groundhog Day. Philippians 4:8. I'm not going to get too deep into this because Pastor's going to do the deep dive on Philippians. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm almost through. Oh, man, it's not that late. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Talk about these things. Tell others about things, these things. What things? What's true? What's lovely? What's of a good report? If there's virtue and praise in it, talk about those things. Here is the most important thing I want to tell you. Remember the second most important thing I told you? The giant wants to be the center of your attention. Here's the most important thing I'm going to tell you tonight. At the end of the day, Jesus wants to be the center of your attention. He wants to be all that you talk about. When you wake up in the morning, you are thinking about Jesus and his blessings. When you lay down at night, you are thinking about Jesus and his blessings. When you get together with family, you talk about Jesus and his blessings. When you come to church, you talk about Jesus and his blessings. When you get a phone call, you talk about Jesus and his blessings. Jesus wants to be the center of your attention. He wants to be your meditation day and night. And there's a reason why. Because he wants you blessed. He wants you healed. He wants you with peace in your mind and your heart. He wants you to walk a holy life. Psalm 1:1 says this, and this is on your sheet. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. What is your delight? Let's think about some things that you delight in. I bought a half gallon. You can just finish the sentence. Bluebell is in the sentence. Butter pecan, Bluebell ice cream. When I tell you it is delightful. You have that for lunch, brother? You know that was the Lord telling me and you to get. Bluebell, butter pecan, ice cream. I delight in that. Brother Angel, I'm sorry. I know you're cutting the carbs. But the word says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, morning and evening, day and night, day and night. Proverbs 3:1 says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 3:2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. This is what you get when you break the negative cycle and you begin to meditate on God's word, think about God's word, speak God's word, delight in God's word. I only have two more scriptures. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. What a deal. What a deal. You know that song that says, I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading all that negativity. I'm trading it all for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my negativity for healing and health. I'm trading my negativity for God to prosper and raise me up to be who he wants me to be. I think that's a good trade. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that by your grace, we have the power, we have the authority to break the cycle of negativity in our lives. Father, give us boldness. Give us boldness to begin to meditate on your word like never before. Give us boldness to begin to speak your word out loud. Give us an awareness, Lord, I pray, of what we say. Lord, convict our hearts, I pray, when we speak death over ourselves or others. Convict our hearts, Father, when we begin to speak what the enemy has said about us and not say what you have said about us. Lord, we pray that tonight in the name of Jesus, if there are any spiritual reasons, any spiritual strongholds that cause people to think negative, to speak negative, Lord, if it's from past hurts, past relationships, hurtful words, curse words that were spoken over them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come against every curse word. I come against every demonic stronghold that might be over minds, emotions, hearts, and I command it tonight, this night, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would liberate us to begin to think different, to begin to speak different. There's been some words spoken over husbands by their wives that has wounded hearts. And men, I'm telling you, forgive your wife. And pray with me right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that those wounds will be healed in Jesus' name and that he would begin to hear the love in his wife's voice. There's been some words spoken by husbands over their wives, and it has wounded their hearts. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, wives, agree with me. I pray in Jesus' name that every negative word that's been spoken by their husband, right now, I break the power of those negative words in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you would unite the hearts of husbands and wives, that you would unite the hearts of parents and children. Father, there's been some hurtful words that were spoken to people even from their childhood. And it has them thinking that they're not worthy, they're no good. They can still hear those words tonight in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of those words. I break the curse of those words by the authority of the name of Jesus. Father, liberate minds, liberate hearts. Father, those who have been speaking death over themselves, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name, Father, I break the curse over those words. People in this room, people online, we've spoke sickness over ourselves. We spoke diseases over ourselves. We spoke the report that others have spoken over us. And tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord, I break those curse words. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, Lord, that you would begin a work of healing in hearts and in minds and in physical bodies. Raise up your people, Father. Heal your people. Heal them mentally. Heal them emotionally. Heal them physically. Heal their homes. Heal their marriages. I pray in Jesus' name. Father, if there's been any negative words spoken over my pastor and his wife, I break every curse word that has been spoken against them in Jesus' name. If there has been any curse words against them, against their family, their children, their pets, whoever, Father, as a body of, pray with me, church, as a body of Christ, Father, we pray for our pastor. We pray for Sister Diane, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we break any curse word. In Jesus' name. Yes, we plead the blood of Jesus over them tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for healing and health over them, Father. In Jesus' name. We break every cursed word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I call it done. In Jesus' name, Amen, 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 amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say amen with me, church. Say amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. If we can pray with you tonight, if we can pray with you tonight, feel free to come up. If you have an addiction of negativity, come see me. I promise you, you will leave different tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed week. We will see you soon.